Okay, tonight we're talking about
Moichik.
The Shaila is, what's the gather of Mechika? Yeah, what is Mechika? What does it mean to erase? Where does it come from? And what are the qualifications for erasing? That's what we're going to talk about tonight. What's erasing? So it all starts from Mishnah. The Mishnah goes and enumerates 39. One of the 39 is erasing. The Shaila is, the Mishnah then continues, as we mentioned and said, the erasing isn't just any erasing. It's an erasing on Manas to get two letters. An erasing to come to an eventual writing of two letters. That's what the erasing is. Now, the Gemara on Ayin Hei Amud Beis, going on this Mishnah, goes and elaborates. What does it mean that you're erasing in order to... The Gemara says as follows. The Gemara goes and says... Oh, let's say you wrote one large letter. Yeah, this is the Gemara. You wrote one huge letter, and it has it's enough size, large enough to have included two letters, but you only wrote one, it's fine. But if you erase one large letter, and now there's space to write two letters in that availed space, chayiv. Comes along the Gemara, and this is where erasing is going to be more machmir and more chamur than writing. Because we're going to nail you on just availing the space of two letters. Now, the Gemara over there goes and talks about, I'm just recapping for anyone who saw this. This is a chazara, and for anyone who didn't, here we go. So, the Gemara then goes and says the wording of machak, you erased, ois achas, one letter. And in that space, you availed room for another two letters to be written. So, is the Gemara example specific? Is it case specific only if you erase a letter? Or if you avail any space? Any time there's a space that's unwritable, and you make it writable, you now have done erasing. Why? Because it's an erasing with the eventuality and the plan of writing. Fair question? Fair question. So the Gemara goes and says, Mochak ois achas. Ois is a letter. The Gemara said, it was very clear, it's a letter. So we don't go and extend it further unless the Gemara extends it, and the Gemara doesn't. The Gemara tells you it's an ois. Comes along the Rosh and says it's only an ois, but here's where it gets exciting. The Tosefta, which, just a correction from 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago I threw out, anyone know who wrote the Tosefta? At the time I didn't know myself. So we got some good suggestions, maybe Balei HaTosfos and this or that. It's from the Amoraim, it's from the Tanoim, Reb Chiya, Reb Oishia. It's the same level, it's Mishneic, of Mishneic importance, the Tosefta. Okay, and it's a part of the general question of which made it into the Mishnayis, which one stayed Brisa's, why is this called Tosefta? And that's, we'll leave that for a Sunday night one time. But the Tosefta goes and says in Shabbos, also in this booklet, the Tosefta goes and says and extends it even further. Even if there was wax covering over a space, even if there was just ink covering over a space, and you avail the space underneath, which has enough space to write two letters, chayiv. This is the Malacha Daraisa of erasing. Okay? Now, the Rosh goes and says, so what is that? Well, what happened? What was done? It must be, the Rosh bends over backwards to say, we must have a different criteria for erasing. Erasing can't just be erasing a letter. It has to be availing any space. So now it's much broader. Much broader than we would have known from the Gemara. That's where the Tosefta ends. Now, here's where the fun begins. Buckle up. What's the understanding of erasing? Why is erasing usur? Is erasing simply a means to write? Is erasing simply a step to get to writing? Writing's the issue, and the Mishnah goes and says, and if you erase to write, that's also a problem. The thrust, so to speak, of the issue, of the issur, is the writing. And the hechsher, so to say, the prerequisite to get to the eventual issue is going to be the erasing. Or, what's the other option? There's an iser in and of itself of erasing. Happens to be, there's a condition. The condition is only when it leads to a writing of two letters. But that's a secondary condition shaping when the erasing by itself is the issue. That's a general chakira in classic yeshiva style. Two tzadim, how to go and understand what erasing is. What does it mean? Well, what's erasing? What's the nafkamina? I'll tell you a fascinating nafkamina. Nafkamina is as follows. There's a general rule we always speak about. In malachas, when you're doing one of the 39, there's two avenues you go. Two avenues you go is it constructive? Is the malacha that you're doing constructive in its action or in your intent? There's always two avenues. The maisa and the kavana, the action and the intent. And each one, as we mentioned many times, when you do a shin or you do your elbow, you're changing the action. And possibly the intent, but not really, because you really want the same result. But you're doing it, you're changing the action that you're taking, you're not doing it the normal way. And if you're totally spacing out and you walk by a motion sensor, that's misasek, that's an example, that's something that's totally mutter. You didn't do anything wrong, there's no problem. If you didn't realize and you walked by, nothing happened. In halacha, nothing happened. Why? You were misasek. You were just like in the act of walking and this turned on. It was not in your kavana at all. Another kavana heter is called malacha she'ein tzricha legufa. What do those words mean? Malacha she'ein tzricha legufa. This is a klal in all malachas. In all of the 39, malacha she'ein tzricha legufa means, and this is going to be brought up many times through malachas, I don't need the very result of what I'm doing. It's something, what's the word? Peripheral. It's something peripheral. There's some benefit. There's a peripheral benefit that I'll gain by putting out this fire. You know what I'll gain by putting out this fire? My house will be standing. The rest of my house will be standing. Fine. Okay, that's not fair. What's malacha she'ein tzricha legufa? Oh yeah, thank you. The Gemara's example of malacha she'ein tzricha legufa. No, so my case is more fancy because it's there's not like a coal or not. The Gemara's case of ein tzarech that you need the gechalim is the house considered like a gechalim or not? You need the gechalim that will remain. You don't need the burnt part of your house. You need the rest of your house. When you put out a fire to save the remainder of your house, are you actively doing this act of extinguishing to sleep in your room? No, it's removed. It's peripheral. Whereas, let's say I need coal. A coal is the classic example. I want this coal. I don't want it to be burnt out. I don't want it to be exhausted. I don't want that coal to be burnt through. So I put out the fire so that I can get the coal. That is malacha hatzricha legufa. If I put out the fire to save my upstairs bedroom, possibly that's malacha she'ein tzricha legufa. We don't like it. So we'll give the classic example of the Gemara to play it safe. What's a malacha she'ein tzricha legufa? Thank you. Is, let's say there's an issue to make a hole in the ground. Ironically, it's building. That's what the Gemara terms digging is building. What have you built? The hole. You built the hole. Okay? It was flat. You now have created a ditch. Now, what if I don't care for the ditch? I just need dirt. For whatever reason, you make it up. I need for tomorrow, I'm doing kisei adam, I did shechita, it's going to bleed, and I want to cover it with dirt. So on Shabbos, I take the dirt. I don't need the dirt. I'm not digging for the ditch. I'm digging for the dirt. That's a malacha she'ein tzricha legufa. I don't need the very action. There's a peripheral gain. There's a, you know, davar tzadi, something that's I will be able to benefit from, but the very act I'm not doing l'shem with the specific intent of creating the ditch. That's the example of the Gemara. So ready? Here we go. Back to our Chakira. Seemingly, Moichik, every erasing should be a malacha she'ein tzricha legufa.
Every erasing,
I don't need the erasing. There's nothing productive. There's nothing constructive in an erasing. What do? It's erasing. It's just to get to the second step. Being able to write. It's a malacha she'ein tzricha legufa. So how in the world are you chayiv? It's one of the 39 that you're chayiv for. Malacha she'ein tzricha legufa demotes any deraisa, demotes it to only a rabbinic derabanan. So what happened by Mechika? It's a malacha she'ein tzricha legufa. That's why we need to know, well, what's the understanding? Is it just secondary to get to the writing, or is it a problem in and of itself? With a condition of servicing the writing in step two. But that's not the malacha itself.
If there's no step two, then it would not be a problem. I mean, okay, the rabbanan would be, but the raisa, I'm saying.
Let's say, you're saying in his mind or in the Mishnah, when the Mishnah enumerates them? When the Mishnah enumerates them, if the Mishnah didn't have a kosev, what would it look like?
Meaning I'm erasing and I don't care about the space. I'm just erasing for fun.
Meaning, let's say, with the Mishnah's criteria, let's say you're moichik shaloyam anas lichtiv. That's only drabban. That's only drabban. By definition, that's only drabban. Fine. So now, well, how do we go? How do we learn? How do we understand it? So they bring many, many proofs from the Rambam. They say this is the transition within the rush from his question to his answer, that he transitioned from understanding it's just secondary and servicing an eventual ksiva. And from the Tosefta, you go and you understand that no, it's a problem in and by itself, in and of itself. Erasing is a malacha. They bring a raya from the Rambam. How? The Rambam goes and says, when he opens up the beginning of Hilchos Shabbos in Perek Aleph, he's laying down, as we've been doing along some of the Shiurim, trying to like give some sort of an aerial view of Malacha. So the Rambam does it in his Mishnah Torah. He wants to walk you through, and he says, you know, call him a kalkulin. If you ruin it, it's not constructive. It's destructive. So, Mekalkel, by definition, is another one. That's only Dirabanan. It's demoted. There's nothing constructive. Therefore, Mekalkel is only going to be a rabbinic problem. So he goes and he says, Kol Mekalkel Menas L'Sakein, and he contrasts. But if there is a silver lining, if there's something productive in this destruction, it's a constructive destruction. Chayiv. Then you're going to be chayiv. Ketzad. Harisha sasar kidei livnos. You knock something down to build. Oy shemachak kidei lichtoi b'mokim shemachak. Or you erase in order to write. So how is the Rambam understanding it? That's going to be chayiv. Okay? Oy shechofar guma kidei livnos b'soicha yisoydes v'chol kayetz b'zeh. And any of these similar scenarios, chayiv. V'shi'uron k'shir ha'misakim. And the shear is going to be relative to each and every scenario. Okay? So the Rambam is going and telling you that moichik is al-menas. Wait. And then when we... there's a second step to it, yeah? Then we open up in Hilchos Kosev by us, where it's supposed to be, he goes and he says, and what is erasing? He goes and he says, Chasav ois achas, let's say you wrote, we're in erasing. Let's say you wrote one letter, v'hishlam ba'asa sefer chayev. Okay. Naflot ziyal gabi sefer. Let's say ink spilled on top of a, yeah, this is a quote of the Tosefta. Okay? So when you put the two Rambams together, say the Achronim, when you put the two Rambams together, we see that... I skipped one part. Yeah. Let's say you write Amanas Lakalkil Ha'or to ruin the leather Chayiv. She'in Chiyuvo. al mokem haksav, ella al haksav. There's no problem where you write, it's a problem in what you write. Now he contrasts. Aval, he contrasts. Hamoichek amanas lekalkel is putter. Okay, I'm getting stuck. I don't remember. It doesn't make sense to me. I'm blanking out, so I'm just gonna bail out. We need to revisit this Rambam, because I saw this raya brought by multiple people, and I personally don't understand it right now. So I'm just gonna leave it. We're gonna have to get back to it. I want to do so much more, and we're gonna leave it for now.
Can I ask a question?
Go.
Okay. So what if you have you have the das to write something, but you don't. Yeah, you have the right das to erase for something, but you don't actually do that.
Great Shiloh. Let's say you had intent specifically erasing to write, and you didn't end up writing. Excellent Shiloh. So do we nail you on the intent? Seemingly, that's where it's at, right? Because you're going to be chayiv.
Right.
Because flip it the other way. At what point do we nail you? Let's say in a classical case, you had intent, and you do it. There's a lapse. You don't write necessarily right away. And when do we nail you? Right when you erase. Because that was your intent. Because it's amanas to do it. Okay, we have to get back to this Rambam. I apologize. I don't remember the raya. But what? No, it's bringing a raya that mechika and erasing is a problem in the very erasing. It's not just to get to the eventual writing; it's a malacha to itself, and that's why it's not going to be a malacha she'in tzricha lagufa, because that's the very nature of the malacha. The very nature is to do nothing, and to avail space with the hope to get to a writing. Okay, that was part one. That's erasing, just like an overview of erasing. Now I want to get to this, what we were meant to get to today. I want to get to the cookies. Cookies.
Oreos?
Yeah, Oreos. Oreos, these biscuits in the back, and happy birthday cakes, and all the good stuff in life. Yeah? So here we go. Where does it all start from? It starts from, you almost like, you go through the Gemara, there's no Gemara about it. There's no Tosefta about it. And you get to the Shulchan Aruch, which again, I want to be finished by the end of next week. Heads up. Hopefully by in a week and a half, we're starting a whole new topic. So, there's nothing written about it. That was a pun. There's nothing there. Comes along the Ramah. The Ramah goes and says in Sif Gimel in Shulchan Aruch, by the way, Asel Shaber Uga, don't go and break, it's a key word, don't go and break a cookie, that it's written on it, some sort of letters. Even though it's only for eating purposes, still, it's erasing. Okay, where's it coming from? So they tell you it's a Trumas Hadeshen, who quotes from the Marami Rutenberg, who said it's a problem, and there was some sort of scenario where they used to give these kids these cookies back in the day, in the 1600s, in the 1500s, sorry, the 1500s, Truman Sadashin was the 1500s, they would give these kids these cookies, and that's what he's coming and screaming about. Amazing. Don't do it. Where does this come from? Why? What's the problem? Anyone want to take a shot at it? You're erasing. Yeah? So, the Taz already asks, what happened? What about eating? You're eating. Why do we view that as a malacha? Just view it as eating. Right? Where do we find a precedent for eating being mutter? Grinding. Right? Like we mentioned earlier tonight, you're not allowed to grind up your vegetables very, very thin, very, very tiny. When you make your vegetable, it's Israeli salad is a shiloh. Yeah, it's a shiloh of teichen, of grinding. And your teeth are...
It's inside your mouth, no?
But you're right. Who said that's okay? We're playing it out now. You're right.
Yeah.
Bottom line, it's mutter. Yeah, why are you allowed to do malacha with your mouth? Now I'll do malacha with your hands. Ah, but also, you take the watermelon, You eat it, and then you spit out the pits.
Separate.
Oh, so instead of separating with your hands, you did it with your mouth. That's okay?
Sunflower seeds.
No, those you're doing, it's that's hard. We're going to get to that when you do borer. That's with your hand or with your mouth?
Depends how you do it.
Oh, so if you're, okay, fine. Yeah, if you're Israeli or whatever, it depends how you do it. Yeah? Those guys are really talented. They put in five and they spit out one at a time. It's the coolest thing. Yeah, for sure. Don't try it at home. So, so what happened? Derech Achila asked the Taz, is Derech Achila, why is that a problem? It should be mutter. So, the Taz is already not so pleased. The Aruch HaShulchan comes along. Go. So this is where it gets very nitty gritty. What was the Ramah talking about? The Ramah was talking about don't break it. Don't break it with your hand, don't break it with your mouth. And we therefore don't have a Ramah speaking about bringing it with your mouth. So you just took a linguistic way out, so to speak. The Ramah was only talking about us and the Shabbat with your hands. With your mouth, it's definitely going to be okay. So many places say like this, and they base it on, hey, I have the Taz, the Dugland Meir Vava, the Neid Behuda comes along, and Derech Achila. Yeah, it's in your mouth. Therefore, the Ramah is only talking about where you actually broke it. You took it and you broke it. But if you pop it in, or you go for the cake, don't do that either, then you're going to be fine.
And why do we have the separate chocolate thing? Why don't you just put the whole thing in our mouth? It's like we have the separate thing on chocolate with their name on it. Like,
so that's servicing this issue, by the way. The reason why they do the happy birthday on a separate cookie is because that's not a problem. Because that's going to be Derech Achila. Right, nowadays, many bakeries are so accommodating. It's all how you word it, right? Accommodating, and they go and they write happy birthday to John on a separate cookie. So how did it solve anything? The answer is no, that's Derech Achila. Wait, so now I want to get to the... Again? Right? And you can just cut the rest of the cake.
But what if you do eat the cookie?
That's fine.
It's still fine? Why?
Because it's Derech Achila. Derech Achila, that's not your intention, and you're allowed to eat. So you're asking, what's the heter of Derech Achila? That's what you want
to
know.
Our intention is to eat, not to break up the works?
Of course.
Right.
Are you thinking of, oh, I don't want happy to be happy?
I want happy.
I don't want his birth to be with the day. I just want them to break. You have, that's not on your mind at all. You're thinking cookie.
I know that when... I have a question about that.
Right. My
wife and her best friend have birthdays on the same day. They both got a cake that says happy birthday, but only one of them can eat it. That's what I remember learning.
Why?
It's supposed to both of them breaking up the happy birthday.
Okay, fine. It says to eat it in one sitting. Let's say it's a big cake. Okay.
No, but I mean the words, the plate, the word happy birthday. Can two people break it up and eat it?
That's an excellent question.
So that's where...
It's an excellent question. So we ran out of time, and we have I owe you two things. I want to get to the Dugland Meir Vava.
You're talking right now when it's imprinted, or we're talking even in the rock, because that might be a big enough. I mean, it's just...
So he wants to know as follows. An Oreo cookie and these biscuits, it's inside. It's part of the cookie.
Right.
What, the white stuff or the words?
The words.
The words. Oreo. Nabisco. They're all on the words. They're in the cookie. In the cookie as opposed to on the cookie. Okay?
Right.
Now, what do you want to say? If it's on top, is that also okay?
These cookies that everyone sees as cakes don't have a piece of chocolate with the frosting on top.
Correct. So the heter will apply even to the frosting, because it's an achila.
But the imprinted cookies will also be.
Whereas cutting is not as simple. The Dugland Meir Vava. This is required reading. Yeah.
So Oreo cookies are good.
Oreos are for sure fine. So next week, this is what we're gonna do next week. Next week we're gonna finish up the cake. We're gonna finish our cake. And that's very good. Now that's going to be tully in a svara when you detach two halves, they could be brought back together, and you split them in between the letters. That's kosav oisachas b'tveria v'achas b'tzipori, and you bring them back and forth, back and forth. It's kind of like an aron that's smack in the middle. Vayhi bin so, oh aha aron, and right, you open it up. Why is that allowed? Or the side of the book. The Mishnah Berurah is going to talk about all these scenarios.
Oh, those library books.
Those library books. They're a stumbling block.
Read it over Shabbos.
What about like a printed cake?
An imprinted cake we're going to get to also. So that's different because that's not writing, that's pictures. Are pictures equivalent to writing? So, required reading, anyone who has the booklet, check out the Dogel Miravava. He bombs away at the Ramah. And then the Aruch HaShulchan goes and says, I don't like the Ramah either. It makes no sense. It makes no sense, but the Ramah said it, and this is where it gets tricky. Can you just chuck a Ramah because you don't like it? Or is there deference? The Aruch HaShulchan says it absolutely makes no sense, but Kfar Yatzah Mipi HaRamah. So we have to embrace the fact that it's Usser. The question is, where does he embrace it? And is there any wiggle room? That's to be continued, and that's where the Mishnah Berurah comes, and just mapping it out, to kind of find a middle ground where you're allowed to be makel in one scenario, not the other, and we'll have to leave off on a cliffhanger. To be continued.
If I write David, right, and then erase